Thanks, Wayne.
Well, before I start, I'll start off with prayer. Dear Lord God, we just come before you and we come to your presence. And I pray, Lord, as I speak today, that your word would go out. And as we hear your word, Lord, that it would build in our lives, Lord. That we can apply it to our lives and it would change us. I pray that you would speak to each one of us out of this and help us to grow in you. Just speak through me, Lord, as I speak today. In Jesus' name, amen. So as Wayne says, what we're doing today is, well, I've called it the work of the potter's hands. Now, I was struggling again with, you know, what do I speak on this week? And I thought back to a conversation I had with Father Martin, who has done a couple of sermons here in the room. We're talking about life, you know, that when you get into real struggles in life. I mean, I did a sermon on pressurized faith, and it's easy to talk about it, but not always easy to have it. You know, it's easier said than done. I was talking to Father Martin about how, you know, at the moment, we're going through real struggles here. And, you know, all that you know about God, you know God's character, you know all the scriptures about God. But when you're going through such a tough time, when it's really, really stretching you, and the future is so uncertain, you all that knowledge you have is brought in question. You question everything you know, because your future just looks so uncertain and you don't know what's going to happen. And fear can get in the way and really just make you question, you know, what life is all about. And so I thought that this topic was a real sort of applicable topic for this time in my life. And I thought that, you know, speaking from being in this position, we all will get into this position sometime in our life. And it's good to remember that the knowledge that we learn from the Bible through revelation is that it may not always seem applicable, but nevertheless it's always true. So I'll be reading today from Jeremiah chapter 18 verses 1-6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred, it was broken, and in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Says the Lord. Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." You know, there's a hymn that I don't know if everyone knows, and I barely remember it, but it's called "Have Thy Own Way, Lord." And the first verse says, "Have thy own way, Lord, have thy own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mould me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still." You know, Adelaide Poller, who wrote "Have Thy Own Way, Lord," must have known something about the relationship between God and man, and the potter and the clay. Can you see yourself as a lump of clay in the hand of God? I mean, Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 tells us, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into him nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living being. From dust we were made." Though at times we may look like a lifeless lump of clay, we have been given life by the potter. Each of us must understand the relationship. God is the potter, you and I are the clay. Isaiah chapter 64 verse 8 says, "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. And all we are the work of your hand." Taking hold of this truth, the lessons from the potter's house are applicable to our lives. The nation of Judah had grown hard and brittle, a pot ready to be thrown to the potsherd, a place for broken pottery. They had sinned against their Creator, their Potter, Almighty God. In Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13, this is taken from the New Living Translation. For my people have done two evil things. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all. They were cracked pots, looking to have their own way. Their lives were in need of the potter's work, will, and word. Do their lives tell our story? Let us also learn the lessons from the potter's hands. So what are the lessons that we can learn from the potter's work? Well, lesson one. The potter is always at work on the clay. Jeremiah chapter 18 verses 2 to 3 says, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. The potter is always working with the clay. God is constantly working in our lives. Lamentations chapter 4 verse 2 says, The precious sons of Zion, valuable as fine gold, how they are regarded as clay pots, the work of the hands of the potter. You know, someone once said, the clay is not attractive in itself, but when the hands of the potter touch it, and the thought of the potter is brought to bear upon it, the plan of the potter is worked out in it and through it. Then there is a real transformation. The potter and the clay is a picture of God's sovereignty, total control over all. God has a plan in mind. God has the power to bring it about. And God has patience and will bring it to completion. Again in the New Living Translation, Isaiah chapter 29 verse 16 says, How stupid can you be? He is the potter, and he is certainly greater than you. You are only the jars he makes. Should the thing that was created say to the one who made it, He didn't make us? Does a jar ever say, The potter who made me is stupid? I mean, would we dare to say that of God? Would we dare to, because we don't understand circumstances in our life, dare to say God doesn't know what he's doing? I mean, I find myself in my current circumstance, and yeah, I almost put myself there, because I'm not walking by faith. I'm not walking by the truths that have been revealed to me or what I know, but I'm walking by sight, by what I see. Each of us can trust in two things. God is at work in our lives, and that God is at work in the lives of all others. Therefore, we can seek His will for our lives, knowing that He is the designer of our lives. He is the potter. He is the one that shapes our lives. Okay, lesson two, the potter's will. The potter shapes the clay to an intended purpose. In verse 4 of Jeremiah chapter 18 it says, And the vessel that he made of clay was marred. Now you don't know what marred means. I mean marred or it was broken. It was damaged. So in the vessel that he made of the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Jeremiah understood that as he watched the potter at work, this was a picture of the sovereign will of God and the sinfulness of man to be brought into conformity to the will of God. So what can we learn from this? The potter's hands are always working to shape the clay. The potter brings the clay into the center of the wheel, or we can also say it brings it into the center of his will, to shape it in its intended purpose. Some decorative and others functional for daily living. That is what God has done with us. He wants to bring us into the center of His will so that He can shape our lives for His intended purpose that He has created each one of us for. In the New Living Translation, Romans chapter 9 verse 21 says, When a potter makes jars out of clay, doesn't he have a right to use the same lump of clay to make one jar for decoration and another to throw garbage into? Clay is the center of the wheel. When it's in the center of the wheel, it is ready to be fashioned. Okay? Also, it's true, when the clay, us, are in the center of God's will, we are ready to be fashioned. The clay outside the center of the potter's wheel is not fashionable for the moment. So when we are outside of God's will, we are not ready to be molded by God, because we are not in union with Him. We are not ready to accept the molding that He wishes to do. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 9, the New Living Translation says, "Destruction is certain for those who argue with their creator. Does a clay pot ever argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it, saying, 'Stop, you are doing it wrong'? Does the pot exclaim, 'How clumsy can you be?'" From this we can learn that the potter is never frustrated with his work, but purposely works out for good the impurities and perfections found in the clay. The potter's will to fashion and shape is a picture of God's good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." Our lives, like the marred clay, can be refashioned and made into something useful when humbly placed in the potter's hand. Okay, lesson 3, the potter's word. The potter's word is sure and can be trusted. And this is what I'm talking about, you know, that when we're in a stressful situation, we can come to doubt what we know about God. You know, we know that He says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." You know, that "I'll never give you more than you can bear." But when we are going through the ringer, when we are being tested, we doubt that. We doubt that to be the truth. And we go, "Why me? Why must I suffer?" And at the same time, it's not like we want someone else to be suffering. So we need to trust in the knowledge that the Bible gives us. In Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 5 to 6, it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so you are in my hand, O house of Israel.'" First, we can learn that if Jeremiah had not been listening, he would have missed the lessons of the potter's house. What if you or I are not listening for the word of God? Can the potter be trusted? Will I trust, or will you trust, the potter with the clay of your life? The word of God is sure to give us hope in that God is shaping our lives. You know, sometimes I read this next verse and it gives me hope. And yet I go, "Well, is it really true?" You know, Jeremiah 29 verse 11, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." When we are struggling, can we not see that even though it looks like we've been left hanging out to dry, that God has a future and a hope there for us? We may not get there the way that we would want to get there, but it would be the way that He knows is the best way for us to get there, so that we can be formed and refined properly. You know, if we get there the way we want to get there, we may still have a lot of ugly bumps and, you know, warts that haven't been worked out properly. You know, no mar or sin in our lives is too much for the potter. He is able to remove the impurity and reshape and fashion us into something useful. And people often wonder when they come to God, you know, they go, "Well, I've done so many bad things. There's been so much, or I did this wrong, and how can God forgive me for that?" Well, there's nothing that He cannot fix. There's no crack or impurity that he cannot remove. The potter's word, can I not do with you? So you are in my hands. God says, I am able and willing. With the potter's sure word, you can bring your hurts and failures and sins to him, to receive forgiveness and to feel once again his hands upon you, to lovingly mold and make you after his will. Again, I go back to this hymn. Have thy own way, Lord, have thy own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. When you come to times in your life, and you know, even saying, you know, preaching this sermon, it's something that I'm still going to struggle with. But deep down inside, I know it's the truth. God doesn't leave us or forsake us. No matter how desperate your life looks, no matter what circumstances you're in where it seems that there is no hope, if you have God, then you have everything. Because you have a future in Him. I'm worried for those people who don't have God, because when they get into the same circumstances, what hope do they have? And I mean hope. What hope do they have to get out of that circumstance? What force beyond their own will pull them out of that and help them survive? But God can. Nothing is too difficult for Him. We say impossible, God says possible. Dear Lord, I just pray that we will see Your hand guiding our lives. That, Lord, even when it seems the world has failed us, when other people succeed and we don't, and we feel like this life is being unfair to us, Lord, let us hold close to You, to Your promises. Let us look upon that image of being pottery. That You are molding us. That You are preparing us for something that is bigger than us. Bigger than we can dream of. If we will submit to Your will. If we will allow ourselves to be molded by Your hands. Lord, I just pray that we would draw close to You. And submit our lives so that, Lord, You can bring us the future and a hope that You have designed for us, that You have waiting for us. Help us to endure the trials that come before us. Give us strength and courage in the times that seem bleak and desperate. I just pray that You'll be with everyone here, Lord, especially in those times that are hard. In Jesus' name, Amen.